With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Dale Green Hill with all of our friends. The brightest timeline is here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right. It's another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recaps, talking season 1, episode 12 of Community Comparative Religion. It's a holiday special. It's December 10th. Jess Sterling. It's not actually December 10th.
It isn't, but I could go for a winter doodle if anybody has any.
Yeah, I would eat a winter doodle. What do we think it tastes like?
Looked like a sugar cookie.
It just looked like a sugar cookie. I'd eat a sugar cookie right now.
I would definitely eat a sugar cookie right now.
Well, here comes somebody who I always refer to as my little sugar cookie. He's
Is that the tip-tapping of secular boots on the roof?
He's my sweet, sweet friend. The great Kevin Mahadeo of Everything is Super is here. Kevin.
How's it going?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Yeah, I didn't have anything else to say. I just said, Kevin.
Are we gonna
Mr. Winter himself?
Mr. Yeah. Winter himself is here.
Mr. Snowmiser? Mr. Snowmiser, Mr. Heatmiser? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would be the Snowmiser.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be on the community podcast. I've heard a lot about it.
I've never heard it.
But classic. I've heard many things about it.
It's classic. It's classic.
He's been on it, and he's also not listened to
it. No, that's how it goes.
I was on community building early on for the Dungeons & Dragos episode.
Yeah, we had you on for Halloween, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Or was it not Halloween? It was Dungeons & Dragons, and then we had you on Dungeons & Dragons. We had done two Dungeons and
Dragons. Double Dungeons and Dragons.
Right, I mean, that episode basically kickstarted a major part of the Discord.
Yeah, no small part. The Dungeons and Dragons of it all, from season zero, as I like to call it, is largely responsible for the epic Dungeons and Dragons campaign that is part of the Post Show Recaps patron program, which, if you'll allow me, I'm going to take a moment to hype up here for just a second. Because it is possible that you have not heard my news, and my news is that I have decided to go full-time podcaster. I am in the middle of my final weeks at Inverse. My fantastic colleagues over there, all super cool, who are all gave big thumbs up and to the decision I made. It was a difficult decision, but I am I have decided to walk away from a steady 9-to-5 so that you can get more of my shenanigans here in the post-show recaps realm. And if that sounds exciting to you, and if you're happy about that, and you're not a member of the post-show recaps Patreon program, then you're a bad person. No, just kidding. No, it's totally fine if you can't join up for whatever reason, but I'm saying it's an excellent time to sign up, to show your support for the podcast, to show your support for the podcasters here on this network. If you find value in listening to these shows, unlike Kevin, then I recommend that you show your support. Now would be a great time to do so. So consider signing up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps is how you sign up for the Patreon. And I will say that in addition to supporting your podcasters, which should be reward enough, you do get tangible cool things, including, if you're signing up at the $5 level, bonus podcasts. We have special podcasts, including Kevin with Melissa Woodward covering The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, a podcast that's exclusively in the Post Show Recaps patron program. Kevin?
Quack, 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 quack. Yes, we are almost halfway through. Episode 5 is dropping this week, I think, same timing. So that's going to be really exciting. We're recording a little bit later. We've been really enjoying the show. even though it's a show clearly made for kids.
No, that is perfect for you.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So if you want some Mighty Ducks coverage, you get a totally different podcast that you maybe didn't even know existed. It's in the patron feed. You can listen in on Kevin and Melissa talking about the Mighty Ducks. We have a new show that's going to be launching in a couple of days that I don't want to spoil the reveal on. We'll talk about it next week because it'll be out and about, but we've got another show that's going to be covered for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. So you can get that in the patron feed at the $5 level, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. At the $10 level, you get the Discord. The Discord, it's the greatest place on the planet. The best place on the internet, certainly, with an incredible community of people who A, watch community, and B, do all sorts of other things, talk about snacks, play games with each other, get to participate in live podcasts such as the one we're recording right now. So, yeah, a strong recommendation, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. If the goodness of your heart to support your favorite podcasters isn't enough, there is also the mercenary reason of you're getting so much value. You're getting additional shows, additional content galore. Consider signing up. patreon.com/postshowrecaps. It would be a holiday, a non-denominational holiday gift to all of us to sign up for the Patreon. How was that, Jess Sterling? Good commercial?
That was great. We have so much going on in the Discord at all times. So if you're looking for a community to be a part of, it can't be a better one.
It's the best.
Yes, our Discord.
It's the best. Kevin sometimes does spontaneous AMAs where he eats crab chips.
Yeah. Yeah. Just yesterday, I got very bored and I hopped into a voice channel and other people hopped in and we just started chatting because we had nothing else going on.
I have not been bored once in my life since the formation of the Discord.
Yeah.
Like I've had other problems. I've been sad. I've been nervous.
Other psychology stuff that I need to deal with. But
I've been mad about things. I've been upset, but I've never been bored. I have not been bored once since October, which is really, really cool. So if you're bored, that's a good reason to consider signing up. Mm-hmm.
Well. There's always something going on. Always at all times.
Yes. All right. Well, speaking of things going on. Why don't we talk about comparative religion? Jess, we did season zero of community building. That was exclusively for the patrons of Post Show Recaps before we launched into the full rewatch. And when we did that, we did two holiday episodes. This was not one of them. You left this off the list.
Right, because I thought season two and season three's Christmas episodes were just a little bit better. Doesn't mean this one isn't a fantastic episode, but I just thought if I was going to show you Christmas episodes, I would have rather show you season two and three. But this one is still great. So
yeah.
Hard to say it's not.
Yeah, it's very good. Kevin, why are you here? And by why are you here, I mean like specifically why this episode? Was this like Jess gave you the list of episodes? You're like, I want this one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very existential question, which is perfect for this episode. Yeah. But I mean, I'm a big community fan. I've seen the first three seasons about four times. I've seen the five and six twice, and I've seen four once all the way through. So that sort of states a lot, but, I love this show a lot. I'm a big Dan Harmon fan, both from his other works and from, his storytelling advice, how he tells stories, and from the time I ran into him in the elevator at, 2 a.m. at Comic-Con, and he just was literally arms full of a bunch of snacks, which I thought was very funny. And so I wanted to, you know, come on the podcast as much as I could. And obviously there's like huge episodes this season. Given a choice, I would have been like Modern Warfare, but like that's the one everyone goes for. So I wanted to pick something different. And this episode specifically, I feel like is a big turning point in the show. I feel like it's along with Debate is like the first episode that people are just like, oh, this show. So I think it's a good one to come on to talk about. And, like, the comedy of it is really, really great. I mean, there are some things that I don't like as much, but is also quintessential to essentially how the show is and what the show is.
Yeah.
So it felt like this is the right one. If I'm not going to do, like, the genre episodes, which I'll hopefully get to do some of those next season since those skyrocket up in the amount of happens. Mm-hmm. This one was a good one to come in on, plus has some like really, really solid jokes, especially from Troy.
It's interesting, Jess, because like I don't know that like I really had this moment until Kevin said that, but like it has been so long since I've had a genre episode.
Yeah, they don't really come into play until like midway through this season. And then like they're all obviously that's why I showed you so many season two episodes when we were starting this thing.
Well, Poultry is the first one, I think, the ever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So it takes a while for them to pop up. But even that being said, I still feel like we're in like the heart of the show now. Like we are in the season one part that it's like amazing. Cause season one isn't usually people's favorite, but there's so many good nuggets in here and they have a good streak of episodes.
No, the nuggets are in the poultry episode.
We'll get to the nuggets, actually not too far from now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I really love this episode. I think we're now into the point where we could say that most characters are kind of rounded out by now. We're getting less of the Troy's obsessed with football, more of him being nerdy with Abed. Obviously, this was like a really pivotal Shirley episode. I really appreciate them exploring it really just shows how diverse the study group is. To have them all have different religions as well is kind of fantastic. And the way that they explore them and the comedy that ensues with all of that is also just amazing. So
I felt very, I felt very seen by Annie and, all of the reactions to Annie being Jewish. Took me back.
You could say the whole word.
Yeah, took me back to college and being the first Jewish person for so many people in college. This felt very, very real, and my reactions felt very similar
it's a
to
wild
Annie's.
Statement for me to hear. It's so crazy. Where did you grow up? I know where you did, but man. This one's really fun. There's a lot of really great stuff, and it is Troy is drifting away from the football stuff, which I like a lot. You really get grounded into characters. I loved everyone's reactions to when Jeff is I'm agnostic, and then the paper ball thrown at him. what a great moment. Cause it is Jeff is a type of person. And that was what I would do in high school, right? Just I'm agnostic. And it's just oh yes, Jeff never left that.
He's still commit.
That guy in high school. And I think it's great.
All right. Well, let's get into it. It's a big episode. There's a lot to chew on. A lot of fighting to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've been in a fight. An hour and a half, 2 hours.
Was it with
sounds
the cats?
Right.
No, it was trolls.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
fought trolls.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot of lava happening.
Yeah, I pushed them into lava. It was great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's fight our way through comparative religion. No fighting on Christmas, but yes, fighting on December 10th, 2009 in Comparative Religion, directed by Adam Davidson, written by the dream team, right, of Dan Harmon and Liz Kakowski.
Gotta love that dream team.
Yeah.
We start off outside Greendale campus. The dean is making an announcement, and we see a lot of wintry decorations. Happy last day before winter break, Greendale. Time to visit our loved ones. Some of you will travel as far as 3 miles. Don't forget to visit our winter wonderland in the quad, where we're giving away catalogs of next semester's classes. Oh, whoa, what's that sound? Is that the tippy-tapping of secular boots on the roof?
I love that.
Oh, well, it must be yet another sign that 'tis the season, because rumor has it that non-denominational Mr. Winter is on his way to the student lounge.
And this is when he just biffs his face into the filing cabinet, right?
Yeah, I love his costume as Mr. Winter. It's ridiculous.
Do we ever see Mr. Winter again?
I don't think so.
No, yeah. I don't think we do in the other episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's love the elf ears, beard. Though.
Yeah.
Just the elf ears and the blue costume.
He looks like winter mint gum, is what his color palette is. It's you can taste the costume.
See, there's a taste joke in there we could have made, especially with Dean, those things go in directions.
Yeah.
But Dean's morning's announcements are always so great. They become such a quintessential part of the show. And I can't believe the actors, Jim Rash is just so, so good in this role. And his delivery of these lines is just always excellent. He just commits to
very hard.
It all.
Very hard.
Yeah, Shirley's in the cafeteria. She's upset that the dean is jamming his PC-ness down her throat.
Oh, God.
Jeff compliments Pierce on not saying anything, which prompts him and Troy to get the joke. Yeah. Sounds like penis.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. Sounds like a thumb in a turtleneck.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Shirley says it's still Christmas to all of them, and she made them all gifts. They're bracelets that say WWBJD. What? And then Pierce says, what would Billy Joel do?
Yeah, write another bad song. Who is he? And then Annie going, I don't know.
Shocking to anybody else.
Yes, that's very upsetting.
Troy
honestly.
And Annie are in college in 2009. I am younger than them. I know who Billy Joel is.
Yeah, you know what? I do think it is possible that it is. All right. I'm from Long Island. I grew up in the town on which Billy Joel's, I believe, first album was based. His house was not terribly far away from where I lived. I drove past it. My mom ran into Billy Joel at Doremo's Pizza. He was like wearing a hat and sunglasses.
Yeah, right.
Like hometown hero, Billy Joel. And so like I can't imagine a life where Billy Joel is not just like everywhere, because he was everywhere for me as a Long Islander growing up. But I wonder, is he just like so superstar famous that you got to know him everywhere?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
I mean, I think to an extent you know his music, I feel like, but I don't know. It's always hard to say. I think if they existed now, they would, right? Like being that young, because like, I think like for the longest time gets sampled on TikTok all the time. So like, I think by virtue of if their age would line up to today, they would. It's just very odd.
How do you not know Piano Man?
Yeah.
Like, how do you
especially
not
in
know?
College. Especially in college.
Uh-huh. Like, everybody knows who Billy Joel is. It was shocking to me that that was a joke. Like, they're not that young. Like, maybe I could see, like, people who are 18 now not knowing Billy Joel. But come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they don't know. And
there's
it turns
a great
out
moment,
that,
though, where yeah. she's like, I don't know. The like the Annie button on that was especially incredible.
Yeah. Apparently it's what would baby Jesus do? And uh-huh. Shirley says it's to remind them of the real meaning of this season is Christmas.
Yeah.
Britta tries to put it in the pocket closest to her heart, but Shirley forces them all to wear
them. No, they're bracelets. You have to wear them.
Yeah. This is a great Britta episode, by the way. She's pretty good in this one.
She's great. Yeah. Abed takes a plate full of winter doodles. A guy who we later find out is named Mike. Comes up to Abed, yells at him for taking all the winter doodles because he has a tree nut allergy.
Mm-hmm.
Abed tells him to stay away from the tree-shaped cookies, which
that's
the man
how it
retorts.
Works. Yeah.
That doesn't even make allergic sense.
Allergenic sense, yeah.
Yeah. And he knocks the plate of cookies out of Abed's hands. I mean, we got to talk about the actor playing Mike.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah. Just out the gate so good. Like, he could, like, oh my God. Like, he comes in and he just gives it, like, 11. And it's so
the outfit,
the mustache, his delivery on everything, and it's so great. Like,
he was unrecognizable.
He was
really. I guess I don't know.
For me, he was unrecognizable. Obviously, like he grew up and became physically someone
very different.
He's like a Verdun, Kevin. In Dungeons and Dragons terms, but he's like totally different. He just like he was like the like scrawny guy in all those movies. Yeah. And then he became just like
one too, yeah.
He just became thick. Like he just became like spole Anthony Michael Hall.
Pretty in pink. Yeah. I think it was him. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. I'm blanking on the other guy.
He's seen Weird Science. I want to say.
Yeah, Weird Science.
Weird Science.
Well.
Yep. You know, and so then like I think it's like fun that he ends up getting to like do like a high school-ish type thing. You know, the community college type show. Literally community. And he gets to play like the bully. I think it's just like a great turn. I think it's a really, really
the mustache
fun opportunity.
Is what does
for
it
him.
For me. Yeah. Like it's the mustache and it's the entire ensemble of like sweat wear.
Yeah.
Like yes. And the fact that he doesn't have sleeves. Like it's just it's all wonderful and he plays it so well. It's just it's iconic when he walks in and he just starts talking about winter doodles.
Yeah.
So but Jeff,
I hated him. I hated him.
Of course you hate him. I hated him. You're supposed to like him.
I hated him. He was horrible. He's like slapping cookies out of Abed's hands. Like, that's not all right.
Well, no, yeah, you go after Abed, it's immediately like, you know, it's
like, no, you can't cross that line.
Yeah, we all like Abed. You can't mess with Abed. We'll make fun of Abed. It's like our Canada. Like, we'll poke fun at Canada, but you mess with Canada, we'll all stand up and be like, how dare you?
Yeah, you mess with the rest of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Jeff comes over to defend Abed. He calls the group the A-Team.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff tells them to beat it. The bully calls Abed Birdface and demands a winter doodle. That's
so sad.
He calls Jeff funny and says, knock, knock, my fist up your balls.
Yeah. Who's there?
Yeah, who's there?
Jeff is also great this episode. Like, it's so many good moments for him. And it's like, that was a good kickoff. Like, when thinking about, like, okay, I'm going to have to rate these guys later. Like, that moment of the who's there at the end, I was like, he's going to get a high score. Yeah. Like, it's a good Jeff episode.
I just want to know, like, how do you come up with knock, knock, my fist up your balls?
Yeah, right? What's the connector?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Oh, that's very good. It's I hadn't heard that one until this episode.
It's shocking.
Yeah, but it is a good joke.
This is when the Dean enters. Unlike... a sleigh, quote unquote, like driven by the human being. I forget what they're called. So the bike attached to the little cart. And
rickshaws?
He starts.
No.
Rickshaws, it might be a rickshaw.
They're like carriers.
Something similar to that.
Oh, no. You're now leaning on me for. We'll
I don't know what
it.
You know what I'm called. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Though.
Yeah.
And Dean yells, Merry Happy.
Merry Happy.
And the bully warns Jeff that the Dean won't always be around, and Pierce reminds Abed that he's
still waiting on the cookies. Yeah, Pierce eat the cookies off the floor, probably, right?
I could totally see that happening.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so sad.
The 5-second rule has been deeply violated in this moment, so, I think I'm out, but also I think the 5-second rule is done.
It is done. There's no way there's a 5-second rule still,
No.
Maybe in your home. Maybe in your home.
In your own home, yeah.
But not anywhere else ever again.
It was my fiance's birthday a few days ago, and we were talking about, like, people used to blow out candles on a cake. Like, I can't see that happening anymore. Like, just, here's a cake. I'm just going to just spew my breath and germs all over this, and then you will eat it.
Many, like, many things are changing.
I can't imagine ever doing that again.
So much is changing.
Just like, oh yeah, no. That
they're
going
to come
change.
Out with like little tools to like blow out cakes with that look like cute and fun, even though you literally could just wave a plate in front of it or something.
Times are changing, much like Anthony Michael Hall's body.
Yes. So we're back in the study hall. Abed says Jeff protected his honor. It was like my bodyguard, but I was the kid from Meatballs. Jeff was the guy from Full Metal Jacket, and the mustache guy was the brother of the guy on Entourage.
Who was he? He was Matthew Modine or Vincent D'Onofrio? Like, who was he in Full Metal Jacket? But I love that the mustache guy was Johnny Drama.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
It's, hey, bro. It's the right thing.
Yeah. What is this Viking victory? Oh my god, I know way too much Entourage.
You know too much about Entourage.
Entourage is like bad, but it's good, but it's bad.
I don't know. I think that's how I used to feel, and like I would not be excited to go back and check
it. No, now it definitely doesn't age as well.
I have no interest in ever watching Jeremy Piven do anything ever again.
Oh, fair. Yeah, fair.
I'm done. Basically all of them.
They're all bad, yeah. Pierce asks why Jeff didn't beat that guy up. Jeff says, for the same reason that I floss, have a bed frame, and keep my guitar in its case. I'm over 23.
Yeah, so he's finally come to terms with that, I suppose. So quickly after last week's episode, where he was really reckoning with the fact that he was an old Jeff. But now he's like, I'm over 23. So like, it sounds like he's embracing his adulthood.
I think he pulls from that when it's convenient for him.
Exactly. Yeah, sure. Jeff does everything when it's convenient for him. Fair. Like, It's all about Jeff at all times, right? Like, that's his mentality. So I think he's able to, like, really compartmentalize each piece of what he needs to be at certain points for his own sanity. And this isn't something I'm familiar with or anything at all, or I do on a regular basis, so I don't know at all what he feels like. But, so I totally get that. I absolutely understand.
Shirley says that she's proud of Jeff for handling it like a certain little birthday boy. Pierce argues that real men fight each other so women can choose the right mate. And Britta says that men fight to release their pent-up gayness.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce says the guy couldn't have been gay because he has a mustache.
That's a barrier to entry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a really funny because it's weird because like I do think Britta has like a lot of great lines in here, but like some of that stuff I'm like, oh, that's definitely borderline homophobic, but at the same time it is perfectly Britta. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like that's what is good about the show, and what we'll probably end up getting into is that mm-hmm. each character is severely flawed in different ways, and how you reckon with that is sort of like, you know, your own takes on it. But like mm-hmm. sometimes I was just like, man, Britta's leading really into like this part of it, and I don't know how I fully feel. Like there's definitely some funny stuff in there, but it was but one it's of those super moments. Britta. Yeah,
yeah, it totally makes sense for Britta. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jeff asks if they're studying or not because he needs a 65 or he'll flunk the class. Annie is shocked and asks why he didn't do the extra credit assignments if he knew he was failing.
Yeah.
And he says doing more than the minimum work is his definition of failing.
Yeah.
Which I mean, I feel that though, especially these days. Oh, guys, you can't ask me to go above and beyond. Not over this past year.
Always looking for the loopholes. You know, always looking for the way out.
He's a lawyer, right? I mean, like, he's got to look for loopholes.
Oh, I mean, I'm also talking about myself. Like, where's the,
I'm the Annie.
Where's the shortcut through the mountain, Wonder Woman style?
I can see myself whispering the word failing. Yeah, like, yeah. I love her so much, the way she says that.
Yeah. Through the minds of Moria, please. It'll be easier. Let's do it.
I regret this immediately.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shirley asks if everyone is coming to her Christmas party right after the final, if they're going to go change into their Christmas outfits first.
Mm-hmm.
Annie says she could wear a Hanukkah sweater.
This is Shirley, so great.
Shirley didn't know Annie wasn't Christian.
Wasn't Christian? Yeah, she's Jewish.
She might in fact be Jewish. Yeah,
I might in fact be Jewish.
We find out Abed is Muslim, Troy's Jehovah's Witness, Britta's an atheist. And then Shirley says, The Lord is testing me. Which is a very famous gift.
That's great.
Jeff reveals he's agnostic and everybody boos at him.
I love that. It's like, commit.
What do they call it?
Pierce says that agnostic is the lazy man's atheist.
Yes.
Which is very funny.
Yeah.
Not inaccurate either.
Pierce reveals he's born again. And he said he had his rebirthing ritual in his friend's hot tub. And he's a level 5 laser lotus in his pew.
Yeah, he's in a cult. So Britta calls him out, and so Pierce says, well, now I'm going to be at a level 4, so you owe me 2,000 Energon cubes. Is he a Transformer? Energon's like with Transformers.
Josh doesn't know? Josh, you don't know?
He doesn't know anything about Pierce in the cult. This is a drop in the bucket of Pierce in the cult.
It's great. Like I'll save you spoilers, so I don't want to go too into it. But I love this is a thing that comes back. It becomes a major part of this character, and I actually really love it. And we can get into discussing more about this later. But Pierce's cultism, right, is I think such a great framing device for how the show kind of treats certain things about religion, because they all believe in their own things, but they immediately jump on him, of course, for his beliefs, right? That seem out there and unorthodox. And I think that's really interesting and fascinating. And especially from Pierce, who's probably one of the, if not the worst character as a person on the show, is bizarrely very tolerant when it comes to this stuff. And even like, while in the future, you'll see he like mentions the cult a few times. He doesn't, it's not aggressive recruitment either, is the best way to put it. And I like that fact about him. I like everything they actually end up doing with Pierce in the cult and how they kind of talk about religion through that lens, because I actually think it's a very positive direction on tolerance, which is odd because it comes from this particular Pierce. Character who's so intolerant. And I'll get into, like, we can talk about this more later, but it's the antithesis of Shirley, who I have a major issue with in this episode.
Yeah, I think Pierce in the cult is probably my favorite Pierce storyline that he has in general. And it comes back and it's just so funny. And this is just the beginnings of it. So
I'm
just
deliberately tuning out right now. I'm excited though. It sounds fun.
No, you're going to love it.
Is this when Troy says like Energon cubes? That sounds ridiculous. What else do you believe in? Blood transfusions?
Yes.
So good.
Oh, no. So good. God.
So Shirley's trying really hard to find a fellow Christian to connect with. So she asks if Jehovah's Witnesses are a type of Christian.
Are they Christian?
But they don't celebrate birthdays or Christmas and they can't drink.
But it helps.
Yeah. Abed says, "Oh, so you're like Muslims. Assalamu alaikum, I think." And Troy goes, Shamalama ding dong.
Oh, God.
It was so bad.
And Troy was like, oh, we're open to all faiths. Everyone can bring a doodad.
Or a doodad from their philosophies, is what she calls them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jeff says he's going to bring his winning smile, which everybody hates.
Yeah.
Buh.
We're now in Spanish class. Everyone's taking their tests. There's apparently a question, true or false, or none of the above, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mike the bully comes in and he says, look at that. Forehead's time, taking a test.
It's not unheard of. Forehead's taking a test. Yeah. Aren't they all called Forehead at a certain point?
No, they each have like his bird face, forehead, old head. I think.
Yeah, yeah. Head and other head. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah, other head.
That's it. Yeah.
Jeff calls him Chuck Norris and shoos him away. Britta tells the bully to just kiss Jeff already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is when we get the famous Chang gif.
Yeah, I'll allow it. Yeah, I recognized the Chang gif before it was the Chang gif, like him in the position that he was in.
With the sombrero on.
Yeah, I'd seen this before.
Yeah.
Well, now you know the origin. Yeah, it's actually really fun because, like, this Chang is so... Like, season one Chang's a whole other human. And I really like season one Chang, especially this episode. You really get, like, oh, yeah, this is a different person from what this becomes later. by season three.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, season one Chang's probably the best version of Chang.
Yeah. And he's very funny. Like, very funny.
Because he doesn't have, like, entire episodes dedicated to him, which I think is not great.
Yeah.
So the bully apparently corrects one of Jeff's answers. Jeff says, it's on. The bully asks if Jeff wants to dance. And Britta suggests maybe to some show tunes.
Oh, my God.
Jeff says he wants to beat up the bully and he will enjoy it. He says the bully's just like Greendale. You're obnoxious, you're cramping my smile, and you smell like French fry oil.
Yeah, so they're gonna go like they have like the long like meet you by like the recycling box. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah. I meet you by the bike rack at 3 o'clock, but not that bike rack. Right, the other one, the one by the recycling bin. It's really good because their volume is still like at a 10. They're still like amped up, ready to go, bro.
It's so good.
Chang loves it.
Yeah.
So we're in the cafeteria now. They're all chatting about this fight. Abed asks what his role is. Will he stand up for himself and take revenge on the villain? And Jeff says he should hang back. And Abed says he will in his face.
In his face. Yeah.
Jeff warns them not to tell Shirley about the fight because she will mom guilt them. And Troy sarcastically says the bracelet's getting him chicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Great.
Yep.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Every line from Troy this episode, I think, is just top notch. Like, obviously, Troy is a hilarious character, but like we said, this is where he's kind of like leaning more into Troy we know. And how am I blanking on this? That Donald Glover is like really, I think, stepping into the role, especially like from this episode onwards. And I think it's great. Like, it's the Donald Glover I think we all know in Detroit. We all kind of know, really shining through. And a line like that is perfect. Just his delivery of just like, no, I'm wearing this bracelet because it gets me chicks. Like, just his read on it is fantastic.
Yeah.
Pierce says this Mike guy used to be a nerd and now he's a meathead. And he mentions Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, like Rosie O'Donnell.
Troy thinks Jeff has moves, and Jeff says he has theories. He's never been in a fight because he's too charming and likable.
But he's like envisioned it, like he's thought about like what to do.
I guess so.
I mean, haven't we all though? Right? Am I the only one? No. So other people have imagined what it'd be like to be in a fight, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. I envision myself pulling off moves that I clearly could never physically achieve.
In real life. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, but they're great. Like, the fantasy
Josh,
is...
Josh, like, somersaults first, then he does...
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Then I do another... cartwheel.
Handstand into cartwheel into jump kick. Yeah.
To flip kick.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
I can see it. For $1,000 a month, patrons have access to my mind's eye.
We're like in the raid. You and I are like our version in the mind is like the raid, and our reality is you doing the cartwheel in that video.
No, it's for the second week in a row, an Always Sunny reference. You know that episode of Always Sunny where like they're all dancing to Freedom,
yes, the high school reunion.
At the high school reunion, mm-hmm. like it's like an elaborate dance number, and then you see reality where they're just like sweatily dancing, screaming. And it's not what they envisioned at all. That would be me in the fight. Yeah, that's it.
So Pierce can't believe Jeff has never been punched in the face. Troy says, first time I got punched in the face, I was like, oh no. But then I was like, this is a story.
This is a story. Yeah.
Is that the story?
Yeah. Pierce thinks every man should be punched in the face because it's a rite of passage. Jeff says the plan is for him to hit Mike. Pierce says that he will teach Jeff some moves, and he assumes Troy is handy with a switchblade. And he tells Abed to go back to the family tent to find a chicken for Jeff to chase. Oh, my God.
It's no good.
Not good. Jeff says he has this. Mike walks in and calls him forehead, old head, dumb head, and other head.
And other head.
And then he takes a paper snowman and staples it to his forehead.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The way he just shakes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And it's just also like, that's like the impetus, I think, for Troy to be like, so fight lessons. And it's like, yeah, that's like probably a good idea. Because like, if that's the guy you're going to go fight and he just did that, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, if he can staple.
Misjudged.
If he can staple any part of his body, let alone his forehead, it's like, yeah, I probably should. I should train up.
Yeah.
This might not be
good.
Especially
if you've never been punched in the face. That guy just stapled his own face.
This
you've
might
never
not
been
be good.
Punched.
Yeah.
So we're back in the study room. Shirley singing Joy to the World while decorating a Christmas tree. Annie brought in a menorah. Shirley shoves
she just,
it
like,
into the tree.
Yeah, tucks it into the tree.
You can't even be seen.
Oh my God.
Shirley says she can't
like,
believe-
this is your Hanukkah candle holder?
Yes. Shirley can't believe she never knew Annie was a Jew.
Yeah, she goes, I never knew you were a Jew. And like immediately I'm like, and it's like, you could say the whole word, like, thank you. Oh my God. But like, I have been here before. Oh God.
Yeah. Annie also excellent in this episode, especially one, her deliveries, but also can we talk about her cardigan with the stitched in or pinned on like happy menorah, and then like on the back also has one.
Oh, it's like embroidered.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, this is a phenomenal cardigan. I love this. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. Annie spills the beans about Jeff's fight.
Shirley
can't believe it.
Yeah.
Asks Annie to finish the manger scene, and Annie just has a baby Jesus and says, we know you were one of us, and puts it in the tree.
Yeah. Doesn't she boop his nose as well? Yeah.
It's so funny.
But otherwise, it's like happily decorating the tree, because I think like this is very Annie. And this would be me as well. I, for my sins, I do love Christmas. So, this whole thing was very relatable and hilarious.
Yes. So we're now in like an empty classroom. Troy is teaching Jeff how to fight by just saying, sup.
And then you give him the Forrest Whitaker eye, you know?
I will never get tired of jokes like that, because I do it a lot also in Key and Peele, and the Forrest Whitaker eye I love as like a thing.
And Britta jokes, and then you move to Vermont. Pierce is wearing boxing mitts, tells Jeff to punch them. Pierce fools Jeff by telling Britta to put her blouse back on, and then when Jeff looks, he kicks him.
Yeah. And Troy's like, that's not fair. He's like, oh, look at that foxy black girl over there. And then he kicks Troy. Troy's like, why does she have to be black?
Favorite line in this episode. Like, hands down, it is a line I've remembered the entire series. It's so great because it's just such an accurate thing. It's like, why does she have to be black? And it's true. Like, you did not have to specify. Love it so much. Yeah. Again, his delivery of it is really what sells it to me.
See, my favorite is this next one. I do think Troy's the best in this episode.
when Shirley comes in, Troy's like, we're just trying to get Jeff ready for the fight. I panicked. I couldn't think of another word.
And then Jeff tries it, and he can't either. Fighting. He's like, that's right. It is hard.
Yeah.
It's so great. I love that.
Shirley looks at this as a giant middle finger to the most important day, which apparently is December 10th.
Yep.
Shirley says that this year the study group is her family, and she thinks they'll let her down. Britta, Abed, Troy, and Pierce all leave. Shirley gives Jeff a brownie and asks Jeff why he hates her and Jesus. Shirley says that Jeff thinks religion is stupid, and he says, no, to me, religion is like Paul Rudd. I see the appeal, and I would never take it away from anyone. But I would also never stand in line for it, which is very rude. And I take offense.
Towards Paul Rudd, for sure.
Rudd's worth it.
I feel the point, but I wouldn't apply it to Paul Rudd.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Jeff says he will see Shirley soon. And Shirley says that if Jeff shows up for the fight, don't show up for the party. She's disappointed. And he says that's
mom for mad.
We're at Shirley's party. Annie brings latkes.
Hash browns and applesauce. Oh, no.
So bad.
Oh, my God. That killed me.
But she does say it like she's not meaning to.
No. She's like, doesn't know what. She's not exposed to it. She has no idea. And just for me, I was just like, oh, God. Yeah. Hash browns and applesauce.
Yep.
Though as a latke snob, I did not think they looked good. I will say.
I love latkes.
They looked a little, they need to be crisp.
I was just going to say, I bet you wanted them crispier.
They didn't look crisp.
You love a crisp.
I do. Those look like fairly soggy. Like they look like floppy latkes.
Yeah. Like, where did she make them? You know, she had to transport them.
They looked like floppy latkes. I wasn't in.
Flopkes, if you will.
Flopkes.
Yeah, it's not good. They looked bad. They looked bad. But the combo with the applesauce, like, at least they got that right. So.
Abed brought a traditional Muslim dish. Shirley says that as a woman, she can't eat it.
Oh, God.
It was awful.
Oh, no.
Awful, awful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And then Britta brought what she believes in.
Another A-plus line. Another A-plus line on this one.
Britta brought what you believe in. Nothing.
Nothing.
That was amazing. That was really, really good.
Pierce brings a Buddha incense holder, which actually is just a bong.
100%.
So funny.
Shirley says Jeff made his choice and that anyone who goes to the fight is dead to her. Mm-hmm. She says she starts singing Jesus is a friend of mine, but nobody knows the words.
No one knows it.
Is that a real song? Follow-up question. I don't know if it is. Oh,
it
okay.
is. Yep. Yeah. I don't know the words, but I know it's a song. But it's just an odd choice. Like of all the Christmas songs. Like I just feel like that's an odd choice.
Like I know a lot of Christmas songs, but I did not know that one. So I was just like, is that real? Is that a real
song? No, it's a song. But I feel like you would sing like Joy to the World, or you know what I mean? Like there's Mark so many the other Britta thinks banning Jeff from the party isn't very Christian.
Well, that's an interesting point of view coming from an atheist.
I did my best to create a special Christmas for my one intact family, and this is the thanks I get.
Yes. Oh God, I love Shirley so much. I mean, this is all like terrible, but also just Yvette Nicole Brown is so good.
Yes. Annie calls Shirley a guilt machine. Pierce says that Annie must know about guilt and calls her a Jew.
Yeah.
Again.
Yikes.
Except he says the full word.
Yeah, you can say the whole word, but no, he doesn't.
I know.
No, he doesn't.
I know he doesn't, Josh.
No, he doesn't. Oh, my God.
He thinks it's Jewy.
Oh, my God. My skin is crawling. It's awful. It's awful.
The entire group starts arguing. Britt is telling Pierce he's in a cult. Pierce is making fun of Troy for not getting birthday cakes. Britta says, well, they can all agree that Jeff should be at the party.
Yeah. So Britta's going to do, in lieu of Jeff being here, she's got the winger speech.
Yes. Yeah. She says that you have to start, if you want us to be your second family, you have to start treating us like one. Even if that means supporting us when we do things you don't agree with, you could start by rooting for Jeff while he rolls around on the ground groping other men. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So everyone heads out, but Shirley. She says the cranberry sauce actually has real cranberries to try to get them to stay. Like, that's not...
No,
sorry,
that would get me to leave.
Me too. Canned cranberry sauce
all
the way.
You gotta go canned cranberry.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin is not weighing in.
Cranberry sauce is relatively new to me. I think I've only had cranberry sauce for the first time a few years ago. My family doesn't really make cranberry sauce, I guess. So I had it for the first time when Robin made it, and I think at one point we use real cranberries to stew down, but most of the time it's from the can, right?
It has to have the can shape.
It has to have like that weird can shape.
Yeah, I think
to come out of it. It's pretty good. I like cranberry sauce. It's sweet. I think I tried it with nothing to be like you just eat it like this, and it's just like oh that's very sweet. And it's like no, you put it with other stuff.
It's also a little tart.
That makes more sense.
There's a tartness
tart
to
is
it.
What I meant, not sweet. Yeah.
Well, it's got like a sweet tart deal. I don't really care so much about the can shape, though. That's great. Love a can shape, but it's not the number one. It's the consistency. Just like want it to be like sort of like
jellied.
Yeah, I think
so. Are you also one of those people who like your mashed potatoes fully smooth versus like having lumps?
I like mine fully smooth.
It doesn't really matter to me as long as it's tasty.
As long as the tasty.
I prefer them tasty. Yeah. I don't really have a big preference, as long as they're tasty.
Josh, like a southern mom over here, just like, as long as they're tasty.
As long as they're really tasty.
We're outside, the bullies are talking. Mike says that if Jeff doesn't show up, they're definitely going to Applebee's because he's getting into a fight no matter what today.
What does that mean? Like, what happened?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, what's going to happen at Applebee's?
Lots of fights with your family members.
We're going to
go to Applebee's to have mom and dad argue.
I have a question. Does anybody ever crave Applebee's? Like,
no,
to me, Applebee's
no,
is like that weird zone where it's like it's almost takeout in quality, but you have to like sit down to eat it. So I'd rather just go somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Applebee's is the, I think, lower end of that spectrum, right? Like, I feel like Chili's is like the go-to. Chili's is the place, like, you know, that's the choice is Chili's. Like,
I think they're almost on the same level.
No way. Applebee's is lower than Chili's. That's
really?
Crazy.
Really?
No,
but, they are all in the same genre, for sure.
They're in the 100%.
Same genre. Yeah.
They're the same genre, but it's like how, like, Olive Garden and, like, Carrabba's, where it's like, Carrabba's, they're the same genre, but Carrabba's is just a little bit higher than the Olive Garden.
Correct.
So I think it's the same thing, where it's like, Chili's is a little bit higher than Applebee's. Yeah. Maybe TGI Fridays is, like, the top of that spectrum.
And, like Friendly's is in there, too. Yeah. Okay.
Ruby Tuesdays, whoever knows those.
Oh, I know Ruby Tuesdays.
I used to use
the phrase Ruby Tuesdays as a euphemism for something. I'll leave that blank.
Please do.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you, it wasn't tasty.
Okay. Yeah. So apparently that's where everybody fights is Applebee's. Mike comments on how Jeff has no backup. Yeah. Jeff asks if he's perpetually
on his way to the gym. And this is when they just go, stop. He gives him the Whitaker. It's not really landing.
But everybody is like, whoa, when he does the weird face.
Mm-hmm.
This is when Jeff sets down his sunglasses. He takes off his watch. Mike makes fun of his WWBJD bracelet.
Mm-hmm. What would Joel do?
Jeff looks at it and says he's not going to fight Mike because he has a friend that believes this is the time of year where you put aside your differences and make peace.
Yeah.
This is when the whole study group walks up and sees this happening.
It's a nice moment to stand up for your friends just as your friends show up to watch you get clocked.
Yeah, right in the face.
Punched in the gut.
Yeah.
What would Shirley do?
Yeah.
Shirley gives Jeff permission to kick Mike's ass, which is wonderful.
Yes. Yes.
And then Mike says, shirts off.
Shirts
as they all get into a fight.
Am I being pumped right now?
I love that line from Britta.
Shirts off.
Am I being pumped?
Oh,
so
my
good.
God.
Everybody's in on the action. Everybody's fighting.
It's December 10th.
It's the man with the fake candy cane.
Oh, my God.
Pierce punches Jeff and says, you're welcome.
Great moment.
After this huge fight, they're all back in the study room. Shirley is singing a non-denominational version of Silent Night as the group is all beaten up, smiling at each other. Everyone claps. Chang walks in with a snowboard, which is like so strange and random.
Chang is great in this episode.
He's so good. And like, him coming in, like this entire change, I think is the Chang I really like, and I wish he still was as the series went on, but unfortunately it goes a way different direction.
Yes. He says he's finished grading everyone's finals. They're all moving on except for Jeff, of which Annie's like, no. Chang says he'll be seeing Jeff next semester in Spanish 102.
Because he's the only Spanish teacher.
Yes. And this is when Annie has the exchange of like, she goes, yay. And that was for Jeff passing, not for you as a teacher.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So good.
Pierce asks Jeff how it feels to be a man, and Jeff says he got punched in the face 4 times before Pierce hit him.
Mm-hmm. I just love Jeff with the with the tissues in the nose.
Yeah, that's good. Jeff pops champagne.
And I love this line from Chang as he exits.
Where he has to go hit the slopes or hit the mountain or something.
I don't care. I got a mountain to shred. Yeah. And that's right. Like, I love that. Like, there's something about Chang as, like, a non-caring, you know, like, apathetic teacher that I think is, like, the best version of the character, where it's, like, he doesn't really care about any of this and is just, like, doing his own weirdness. And I think that's the best success for him before he goes, like, full Ken Jeong, or rather, I guess, what people want Ken Jeong to be. And,
Yep. Jeff pops champagne, and he says, "Merry semester, and a happy new one."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was this, like, this was the end of, this was the end of Community for a couple months, I would guess? Like,
This is the winter break.
Remember
how TV did that? So weird to, like,
it is weird to think about now. Yeah.
Like, the breaks in the winter, and then they usually have, like, the spring break as well, would come back for, like, 4 episodes, and you're gone for 4 more weeks.
Right.
It's like, how do I keep track of this?
Right. All right. So then we get to the end credits.
Mm-hmm. It is singing, Christmas Troy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Jeff asks why they do stuff like this, and then of course we see Jeff joining in.
Yeah,
because it's fun. It's great. I love that.
It's so fun. Yeah, this smells like special drink.
Yeah.
Obviously, streets ahead.
Streets ahead for sure. Easily. It's pretty clear. Pretty clean. A really fun episode of Community. I don't think like a next level episode of the show for me by any stretch. I think. The last couple I enjoyed a little bit more, but I really liked this one. This is a really, really fun episode of the show for sure. All right, let's get into some F Community feedback. We can do like the look back once we get to the ratings. From Eric Divestine, would you rather get punched in the face or staple a paper snowman to your forehead? Do I have to do one?
Yes.
Punched in the face, because like the punch is coming from somewhere else. Me having to staple myself is like a barrier. You know what I mean? It's like, I would not. I was like,
really? I'd rather staple myself in the forehead. Like, there's only two little like things. It's probably not even going to get stuck in your head.
I think Jess is right.
I think
have you been punched in the face? Have either of you been punched in the face?
I have never been punched in the face.
I'm not going to say one way or the other because I don't want to open the invitation.
Josh has been punched in the face, guys.
Would you rather get punched in the face or staple a paper snowman to your forehead? The answer is very obviously staple a paper snowman to your forehead because
you have the control.
In the phrasing of the question, you're in control. So like I'll staple a paper snowman to my forehead, but I won't do a good job at it.
Yeah, what if you had, like, an Olympic athlete punching you in the face?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't the question, though, right?
But it says a person.
Interpretation of the question, yes. I think that we have more agency in stapling the snowman to our forehead, which means that I'd rather do that than, like, leave it completely to chance.
I mean, you have to staple it, though. It's not like you can go gently, because then it won't staple to your head, and it would fall off. So you'd have to, like, then do it again. In order to get the staple in, so you'd have to like actually like clunk and get it into your forehead.
But you're not like, it doesn't say that snowman has to stick to your forehead.
That's a staple. Staple is a very specific term, and staple means like putting something
together. There's interpretation here. I think
I assumed it was attempt to staple a paper snowman, not actually successfully staple.
Yeah,
it says staple.
I'm sticking with my answer.
Me too.
I think it's I think it's the right choice. They're both tough choices, obviously. These are difficult times that we're living in. Ariel writes in and says, "Am I the only idiot that thought this episode was genuinely kind of beautiful?" Sob face. Ariel, first of all, you're not an idiot, so stop that. Just get out of here with that. No, I thought this was kind of sweet. This is a sweet episode. Like everybody like has like a everyone's coming to the table with a different thing. It's very offensive in many ways, but so is Community.
That's the show.
That's sort of the show.
This episode has a lot of heart. I mean, I think that's again what really propels it into that direction of what Community becomes is, like, because some of the best episodes, like, it has the craziness, it has the over the top, but it still has the heart. And I think this one does ultimately have that heart at the end about coming together and, you know, like, doing stuff for your friends. And then, of course, that friend doing stuff for you because, like, Shirley does fight and, you know, it's December 10th. Like, I think all of it comes together really well. It's a really, really well done episode in terms of, like, that those bonds between the characters.
For Jank says this episode has it all, heart and comedy. Perfect four from Jank. Jank can be a hard grader on Community, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So that's big. Jank says, I'm not a big Christmas movie person, but each year I will watch the Community Christmas episodes, often with my sisters. For that reason, I've seen this episode many times and it's near and dear to my heart. I can totally see that. I can imagine this being an episode that would rise in my estimation over, like, repeat viewings. On the first one, I really liked it, but it didn't, like, destroy me. But I get that. I think that's good. Finally, from Riley. Riley says, for me, this is one of the first big episodes that shows what Community is all about. In this episode, you really see how this community of a study group makes each other better. Jeff standing up for Abed, Troy and Pierce, I guess, teaching Jeff how to fight to stand up for Abed, Britta standing up to Shirley, everyone coming together to fight those fly dancers at the end. This episode shows that these characters together are better apart, but how they make each other better. I think maybe the landing of that phrasing is a little confusing to me, Riley, but I get the spirit of the point. The non-denominational spirit of the point.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's like I was saying before, how they all have different religions, but they all, like, find ways to get along. Even Shirley, who is, like, the most devout in her beliefs. Obviously, some questionable decisions made by Shirley, some questionable things said by Shirley this episode. But I just love the ending where Shirley's like, kick his ass, Jeff. Like, enough with this. I don't care that it's December 10th. Let's do
it. Does she call him Jeff, or this is also one of the instances where she calls him Jeffrey? Because I know she calls him Jeffrey at points.
She calls him Jeffrey, like, most of the episode. But I believe that she, I don't know if she says kick his ass, Jeff, but she definitely says kick his ass.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Shall we get into the meow-meows?
Yeah, let's do these meow-meows. We'll do the beans.
My beans.
All right, I don't know what that means. I still don't know what any of it means. I have no idea what the meow meow is.
I told you wouldn't be spoiled, and no one has spoiled you yet.
We're still so early. It's plenty of time. There's literally like a year and a half, it sounds like, if not two.
There's a while before you get to this.
Yeah. All right, so the meow meows. So I went with a lot of threes, and I think as high as a four. So I gave like a three to Pierce, the stuff that's like fringing on like either inadvertent or like intentional anti-Semitism is tough for me in this episode. So Pierce is going to get a three. Shirley's going to get a three. Abed was good, but mostly fine in this episode. So I'm just giving him a three. Chang is 3.5. You know, him showing up at the end really killed me. I thought that was great. And also like the iconic image. And then a four to everybody else. A strong Jeff episode, a strong Britta episode. Troy and Annie are both really, really funny. And Annie is like for like specific like reasons for me as a Jewish person. It made me really, really happy to see like her interaction within all of this. So I will leave my meow meows there. A bunch of fours, a couple of threes, 1.5.
All right, Kevin, you're up next.
All right, so I went higher in my ratings than Josh, which is different for sure. I'm cautious
on Community. I'm still finding my way here. Yeah.
Most of the characters got pretty high. So I gave Jeff a 4.5 because I think he's really, really good this episode. There's a lot of great lines from him. I don't think it's the best Jeff, but like definitely up there. Abed got a 4 as well because I think in the same regard, I think Abed is good this episode, but it's not an episode like around him, so he doesn't have some of his best moments. Troy's a 5, though. Every line from Troy in this episode, I love. The blood transfusion joke, the drinking but it helps joke, of course, the like why'd you have to be black, and the fight is really well done.
Yeah, that's good.
Annie as well, 4.5. I think she's like top notch. Again, not the best Annie's been, but like everything she does in this episode, I think it's so great. And just her delivery on everything is fantastic. Britta, 4 as well. I even gave Pierce a 4 because I think like a lot of his stuff lands really well for me. And like the Pierce-ism of it all, it's not the worst Pierce has been. He has really funny moments like the punching of Jeff. I ended up giving Chang a 4 even because it is like, I think one of my favorite versions of Chang. I think he's very funny. And I gave Shirley a 1 because I have major, major, major issues with Shirley in this episode. Like when it comes to characters overall, Pierce is usually at the bottom of the list for me, but Shirley is like a close second to the bottom. Usually I think just personality and the stuff she does as a character doesn't sit well with me on a normal basis. It's like this episode for people in Pierce and D&D is like my Shirley in D&D. It really, really bothers me. And I have a lot of issues with it. So like, that's why she actually was a 0 up until like Britta brought nothing, and I was like, oh, that's really good. Mm-hmm. And the end where she's singing the non-denominational Silent Night, I think is really solid. So I bumped her up to the 1 there. But that's my opinions on that.
Yeah.
I think it's fair.
So I had, like, this is the hardest time I've had so far doing my Meow Meow Beans. And I don't know exactly why I struggled so much. I love this episode. So everybody has pretty high Meow Meow Beans for me, the lowest being Pierce at a 3.5, which again, like, I appreciated Pierce in this episode. Obviously, I took off points for some of the, like, the Jewy of it all and all of that.
Yeah.
He loses points there for me. I have Jeff, Abed, Annie, and Chang all at 4s. They were good. I would say, I might even move Annie up to a 4.5, honestly, because I do think she's better than Jeff and Abed and Chang. Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. I'm pulling a Josh. It's happening.
Hey, look at that.
Look at that. So I do think that, like, Jeff, Abed, and Chang are all kind of at that 4 level. Like, they're better than average. They're good. They have funny lines. They have good moments, but not, like, amazing, amazing. Annie, I love the, like, Chang is teacher. Like, just her face when she says that, it's so good.
Yeah.
We knew you're one of us. Like, just kills me. And I love, like, the joke of, like, say the whole word. Like, she's really on fire in this episode. Troy, I also gave a 4.5, mainly the fight line. It's too good. And like the up and down that he goes, you could just say like fight, but no, it's like all up and down. It's delivery that kills it for me. Britta 4.5 as well. I just think like this is the Britta being like, am I being punked right now? Mm-hmm. She's really funny. It might not age like super, super well, but you can't argue that like she doesn't have points where like men are groping each other on the ground. Like we can all point that out.
Yeah.
Shirley, so this is controversial, and this is where I really struggled, was what to do with Shirley, because this is the most Shirley has been, and Yvette Nicole Brown is like top notch with her delivery.
She's
so good.
She's phenomenal all the way through.
The way she delivers any single line, just like, that's nice. Like, just the way, and that's her. That's fully her doing that. And so it was kind of like my first watch through with the show. Shirley was second to bottom for me, like you, Kevin. Like, Pierce was at the bottom very clearly. Chang, let's pretend Chang's not on the list. Pierce is like easily at the bottom. Shirley was the next rung up, because I think your experiences tie into this show and kind of how you relate to the show. And I talked about this a little bit in the Discord, if you're in there. I grew up in a Catholic household. I went to a Catholic church. I went to Sunday school. I did all of that. And I really didn't like a lot of their teachings. And I really didn't like a lot of how the Catholic Church handles things. And that really colored my opinion of Shirley as a character. Because when you have those kind of past experiences, you're obviously going to pull those out. And it's going to feed into those negative, you know, negative stereotypes, negative feelings about the Catholic Church. And so the way that Shirley acts as a character sometimes just like gets under my skin. She's just so pushy about her religion. And I really don't like that. So it's really hard to kind of separate my feelings and thoughts in those ways. But shout out to Jank, who gave me background information. He had watched the commentary. I didn't have time this week. And he did say that Dan Harmon said he wished he framed it more that the group accepted Shirley's religious Christmas spirit more than Shirley accepting secularity. He said something like, Christians know how to do Christmas best. Like, it's very clear that Shirley is like very ignorant. And not that we should reward that, but just the way Shirley acts is just so Shirley to me. And the line delivery and all of that, even, and I think she grows a lot, and I think this is just the beginning for her, and I did give her 5, which is insane. After everything I just said, I gave her 5 meow meow beans, because I feel like this is a story of Shirley's growth arc. This is where it begins, right here.
Okay.
At the end of the episode, we do see she's not singing, like, Silent Night. She's not singing Jesus is a Friend of Mine. She's not singing any of those things. She is singing a non-denominational version of that song, and they all came together. She said, kick his ass, Jeff. Like, she was
It's December 10th.
Yeah. So I gave her 5 meow meow beans. It's probably a controversial thing to do. And again, like, I feel like this is the Shirley that we know. And this is the Shirley that just, like, takes off from here. Like, she grows so much. And so I just had to, like, give credit not only to Shirley, but to Yvette Nicole Brown. Like, she's just a superstar in this episode.
I think it's a lot what you said, though. And I totally get that POV, right? And that perspective. And Shirley does grow. The religion stuff still sticks on a lot of stuff, but it doesn't, it's never this level. And it's like, Pierce is never as worse as than he is in the D&D episode. And in a similar way, like, this is the bottom for me, for Shirley. And, like, I also went to Catholic school growing up for reasons. But I'm not Catholic nor Christian nor baptized. But I did go there, and so I experienced a lot of that stuff. And
yeah,
it's for me, I think also the context of modern day really has, like, really sours it. Because I do think, yes, Shirley does grow at the end and she learns, but the fact that she was ignorant is also something in the modern day that becomes a lot more difficult for me to swallow in terms of, like, allowing. And I think it's also one of these instances where it's another, like, it's up to the rest of us to teach you not to be ignorant. And it's sort of just like, that shouldn't be on me. I shouldn't have to teach you to be a certain way. Like, you have that power to learn. So it puts the impetus on the people that are being pushed aside or made fun of or whatever to then convert the other person into a proper way of thinking, and that does rub me a wrong way, especially now. So I totally get it. She does grow, and it is like a growth arc for this character, but, like, the little stuff of the especially the pushing of the religion thing really just rubs me, and I was just like, I can't. And so that's where I fall on it, and that's why. But, like, I totally understand.
Yeah, that's totally fair, especially the ignorance not being an excuse. Like, it really just can't be. And so I think that especially this plot line just doesn't, even though I think it's a great episode, I don't think that particular point ages very well. And it's just like, it's very in a joking manner. Like, are you like, is she ignorant or is she just like, is she like, trying to push people in a specific direction? It's very obvious that she's using Christmas as a way to, like, not replace, but get a substitute for her family, who she's not in contact with now. And for a lot of people, Christmas is a family holiday. That's what it's about. It's about being with your family. I celebrate Christmas. I'm not religious, but it's just about being with your family. And so I that's where I guess I vibed with Shirley more. It's like, it's more important that this is a family holiday that she spends with her chosen family at this point. And she's really into it, and she gets disappointed when other people aren't because they're not her same religion.
Yeah. You have that same effect with Abed, right? And Abed's Uncontrollable Christmas, though, about the family aspect and, like, what Christmas means. And that episode is, like, one of my easily favorites, hands down. I watch it every year. I get very emotional. I think, like, all the points of that is solid, and that's what I like. But that is always a twist with Shirley, right? Like, that's the twist for her for the series, is that you can never tell, is she being ignorant or is this the way she manipulates people? And I know so many people like this. I know the people who use the guilt, who feign ignorance to be able to, like, twist people and get them to come over to their ways and use the sweet voice, but are really like a lot of that is just like, oh, I know this type. But you're right. It is the Shirley-ness where you're just always just like, is it or is it not? And it's hard to tell.
You can't tell.
Yeah.
Because she's so manipulative. Like, the mom guilt. Tell me, we all haven't experienced the mom guilt of that. Yeah. Like, she's so good at it.
Abstaining from this question.
My mom doesn't listen to this podcast.
I don't know. I don't think so, but just in case.
Mom guilt. But I don't think I've experienced the, like, I'm disappointed line. My family doesn't do the, like, I'm disappointed.
Oh, really?
They're like, oh, no, they're just like, yo, we're pissed. Like, you effed up. Like, my family doesn't.
That's how they roll. I have not met your parents, but, like, I know you well, and I know your stories. And I've seen you on the phone with them. So.
Yes. My parents, we have a very minority immigrant family interactions where
it's great. It's great. Yeah. Watching you on the phone with your family is one of my like secret delights of our friendship. Like when I come out and like stay with you and Robin, and like you inevitably like will have like some conversation with your mom, and I just like see you like get like very animated on your side of the phone. I'm like, oh yeah, he's getting into it.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. I love it. It's so great.
That's why it's so hard to give out the meow meow beans to Shirley. It's just everything that Yvette Nicole Brown's doing is just on
point. I'm not mad at it. Give her five. She's my favorite character, so I'm good.
I think it's just
Shirley's
this
your
is
favorite
a,
character.
You didn't know that. That's right.
You would know it if you listened to the podcast.
That's right. You would know.
Well, I'm glad I don't listen to that.
I love Yvette Nicole Brown so much. I think she's so great. I think that she's just had so many moments that have just destroyed me.
Yeah.
I think
that like she's on the same level as Donald Glover in that like you need her to play Shirley, because without the line delivery that she has, like Shirley wouldn't be anywhere near as funny as she is. The writing is amazing, of course. I'm not like denying that. But without her line delivery, it's nothing.
100%. This is not the takeaway. Like, I love Yvette Nicole Brown. She is phenomenal. Every time she shows up and stuff, she was in Endgame, obviously, and I was super pumped about that.
Where oh, right! Yeah! Uh-huh. I forgot about that.
And, like, you know, Josh already knows, like, you know, she's not in the final seasons because of, like, you know, bigger stuff. But like, she was in a show I was working on, and it was really awesome, and, like, she was so down to do, like, promotional stuff when we would ask her. So she's just also like a great person, and she's so like just 100%, like just like I think Troy and Abed especially are dependent on those actors doing it. I think Shirley's dependent on Yvette Nicole Brown being so good in this role and able to deliver these lines, you know, like the writing is good, but when it comes to like TV and film, the writing is also only gonna be as good as the actor who's able to deliver it,
for sure,
as we know from watching Star. But like, you know, it is these actors who really kill it on this show. Mm-hmm.
All right. So where does that leave us with character rankings?
Yeah. Shirley dropped two places. Unsurprising, given the one from Kevin. It's not. I mean, she's not out of it. She's so we have Abed.
Oh, no
in the
one's
top
out
still.
Of it really, other than
well,
Chang.
Out of it,
and then Dean will have a lot to make up for once he gets on.
Yes. So we have Abed in first, Troy in second, Annie in third. Jeff moved up a place to fourth. Britta moved up a place to fifth. Shirley's now in sixth, but only 1 point behind Britta. So not far for her to make up. Pierce is in seventh, and he's actually not that far behind, really. And Chang is clearly in last place.
That's about my rankings in general, though.
Sure. That looks like a fairly solid ranking in terms of, like, conventional rankings.
It makes me happy that Annie is now in third, because she, for a while, is, like, sixth or seventh, but now I feel
crazy.
Like she's...
There's high variance.
Yeah. She's also, like early on. Yeah.
The first couple episodes, she's just not the Annie we know and love, so it's hard to really give her a lot when the show didn't give her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so onto the Dean's list. Very clear winner for everybody in this episode. It has to be Mike the Bully.
Yeah.
He's so good.
You don't really have a choice.
He needs his winter doodles.
If they did a little bit more with Mr. Winter, I could have seen it going to the Dean. But yeah, I think gotta go with Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty clearly.
Definitely. So yeah, so he actually comes in, he's tied for the Greendale human being at 3 points, but obviously Dean is at 13, so tough road for anybody.
13.
Mean.
All right, so let's go to the cools. Let's do the episode rating. I'm a little lower than I've been recently. I went with just three cools. Went with three cools. I really liked this one for
That's
sure.
Low for you?
I mean, no, it's not that. It's lower than it's been for a little while. I think I have. Just pulling it up. Where's my ratings?
So you have. He rated Politics of Human Sexuality, which was the last one we did, a 3.61.
Mm-hmm.
Like most, like the highest he's ever rated anything.
That is the highest.
Episode.
That's the highest I've gone is a 3.61, and I'm very cautious to go past that 3.6 barrier again. And then, like, I have a bunch that's sort of, like, trapped in this, like, not trapped is the wrong word, locked into, like, this 3.2 tier. That's, like, intro to film, social psychology, intro to stats, home economics. And I don't think that I liked this one quite as much as those, so I'm just giving it a 3. It definitely belongs in the 3s. So I'm there. I think that that's fair. I hope that that's fair. But
yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Sorry, go ahead, Kevin.
I didn't know you could do decimal places.
Oh,
I just
do decimals. Go ahead.
It's totally fine. I think I actually landed the same place as Josh because it's. I don't think it's going to be as high as in my future self knowing a lot of the episodes that exist in this show. Mm-hmm. So I do think I rated a cool. Which I think a 3 is solid, even regardless of now knowing you could do decimal places. I thought it was just a full stop of how many cools. Again, I don't watch the show, guys, or listen to this podcast, rather.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm pretty sure I told you could do decimals, but that could be on me if I didn't tell you that, because I don't remember what
you can
I said.
You can do decimals if you want.
Yeah, you can change it if you want.
You can change it right now.
I think the 3 is solid. I think that's a fair rating for me on this episode, because I do like it a lot, but... Like, I would rate the bait higher than this one for me, because the bait is just very, very funny.
The bait's amazing. I gave this one a 3.9. I didn't want to necessarily give it the full 4. I don't think that it's necessarily at that level. For me, it's every character is acting how I'd expect them to act. So, like, just laugh out loud moments one after the other. I think that Mike the Bully is a fantastic one-off character. He's so, so, so funny. And, like, joke after joke had me dying. I love Christmas. Anything that's Christmas-themed, I'm probably going to be on board for.
Yeah.
The only reason I didn't give it the perfect 4 is I'm so hesitant to give out that first 4. To me, it marks, like, a very specific occasion. And obviously, there are going to be multiple 4s throughout the run of the series. I just don't think that this one is necessarily on that level. And Josh, I feel like you could agree now. Like, you understand why I didn't pick this episode over the other 2.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I would pick... I would definitely pick season 2's. I do think maybe there's an argument between this and season 3. I think maybe I like this more than the season 3 Christmas episode.
I think
episode.
That's an unpopular opinion, though. I feel like a lot of people love the Glee one.
Yeah.
I do love the Glee episode so much. But Abed's Uncontrollable is probably my favorite of the Christmas episode.
That one, to me, is a classic. It's just heartwarming. You know what I mean? Hit you in the feels. The audience was somewhere between us at a 3.33, which landed this one at a 3.31, which ranks it 6th.
Oh, that's probably pretty low, or much lower than people would expect, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's halfway. It's exactly halfway. For the audience rating, the lowest score we got was a 1.58.
Ooh.
And the highest we got was a perfect 4 out of 4.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So it falls right behind Intro to Film. I personally obviously have this one higher, but it's my bias. It is what it is. It's going to hit everybody a little bit differently. I'm a Christmas fiend, so it's going to hit me in a good spot.
That sounds terrifying.
Maybe that's
Christmas
my fault.
Theme.
I feel like maybe I should have rated it higher because I do feel like it's higher than 6.
It's not too late.
It's not too late.
You could still shift it, Kevin.
It's never too late with Josh on a podcast.
I mean, that's never true. Too late, and who knows when you're coming back.
Yeah, let's, you know what?
What am I bumping into?
Let's just put a 3.4.
Okay, 3.4. So we got a 3.4 cools.
And we're seeing live how this affects
Kevin.
Everything. So now
is a 3 too low? Should I go higher?
Oh my goodness.
I'll put in that 3.2 tier. Why not? You know?
Okay. Josh has a 3.2.
It's happening.
When I look at it this way, it does feel low. It does feel low.
So now it's falling in 4th place with a 3.46.
All right. I feel good about that.
That feels better.
That feels better. Yeah. That
does What's number better. One? Debate.
Debate.
Debate is the current number 1.
I defer to the experts on this one. You know, I don't know what I'm talking about with Community.
Well, it's also just like it's how it hits
you. And boosting up to the 3.2, I'm still beneath the audience average. I feel good. I feel fine. I feel fine putting it up there.
Like, for me, Intro to Film is pretty high because, like, that one, I think, spoke to me on a lot of levels and really did something amazing with the character of Abed. So, like, that would be higher. But it is the personal stuff, right? Yeah. Like, so I think this is totally fair of, like, where it's landing here.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's where we've landed. With comparative religion, next week, what are we getting into, Jess Sterling?
We are up to season 1, episode 13, investigative journalism.
The industry that I'm leaving.
There you go. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Gotta get the takes before you're done.
Yeah.
Investigative is a strong word for us.
What are you talking about?
Josh.
What are you talking about?
He's a detective, don't you know?
Yeah.
Don't you know?
And we're inviting on a new guest here, Michael J. Clark, the MJC himself.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited to get MJC on here. That's going to be super fun to get Michael J. Clark on the podcast. That's going to be incredible. Cool. Investigative journalism. I'm hyped. I think I may know something about this one.
Mm.
There's like a thing to know, right? Yeah, I think I know it. But
there's a thing to know.
I think. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not.
But I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, I think I may have gotten hit with a thing about this one, but that's fine. If it's accurate, then I'm pretty hyped to see what it all means. I'm pumped for another week of Community. Pumped to get MJC on the line. It's great to have you here, Kevin. Oh my God, Kevin, what are you doing? You got so much going on.
I have so much happening. We are going to be doing Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The final episode just dropped. I haven't watched it yet, but will be.
As of the time that this podcast is hitting the main feed,
you will have watched it,
and the podcast will be available as well. That's so how time travel works, yes.
Yep, time travel. So I'm just going to speak as if all this has happened. So yes, I'm doing everything as super. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we are wrapping up our coverage here. We're going to have one more show to go after that. The Feedback Show, featuring a very special guest who will be returning to the podcast.
It's me!
It's Josh Wiggler.
Spoilers!
Yeah. Returning back.
Yes.
For the next final episode, our Feedback Show.
Right,
for
which
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Is, and we'll use that as the canvas with which Kevin and I, it's going to be the two of us on Everything is Super again for the next little while. We've got a plan.
We've got
one that like isn't like, you know, like super relevant necessarily, but like it's an opportunity to do a series on certainly characters and movies that are very near and dear, especially to Kevin's heart. So I'm really excited about that. Stay tuned. Putting the super in Everything is Super is the very obvious clue.
I even
caught that, and I'm not the most well-versed.
Everything is Superman.
Yep. Really pumped there. We've got the Mighty Ducks podcast, of course. Me and Melissa covering. We are going to be having occasional guests on, which I'm really excited about. Other than that, you know,
still looking for your excuse
Twitter
to do a Twilight podcast. I know.
Yes, excuse, please. I think it might be happening. Coming. We'll see.
I don't know.
Keep your ears out for that if you like Twilight, or like hearing
or if you hate
talk
it.
About
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Either way, yeah.
Either
could
way,
be a good time
listen.
both ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter @KevMahadeo. You can check out my website, themahadman.com. That's mainly it for me. If you're not watching Invincible, The Circle. I'm watching The Circle. Very awesome.
Wild
show.
To me that you're good watching up. The Circle.
Kevin loves The Circle. Kevin loves The Circle.
Because that is too funny.
It's so good. The last episode. Oh my God. I was
Did you watch
so
the
junk.
UK one too?
No, we're about to. I think
you
since,
need to watch
since
the
we're waiting
most
for
recent
episodes.
One.
Yeah,
you
we're
need
just
to watch.
Gonna jump
there's
in.
The guy that you will love on the most recent UK season.
I love
100%
it.
100% guaranteed.
It. It's
yeah.
such a it's such an entertaining show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am also watching The Circle. It's so good. Josh is not watching The Circle. He
I'm
has
not,
no idea what we're talking
no,
about. How do you
I,
feel now? How do you feel to not know what's going on?
Yeah. What's that like, Joshua?
What did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm still lightly traumatized by reality television, okay? I'll come back. I swear. God.
Are you not even watching usually, Top Chef?
It's just usually
no,
I'm the one who doesn't
I am,
know what's going
I am
on.
Watching Top Chef, but like really slowly. It is wild. Like reality TV is really hard for me to like gin up the nerve to watch right now. It's very strange. I don't know. We're all so fragile anymore. This is like one of my like points of fragility. It's like I can't look at it. Yeah, it's crazy. It's really wild.
My family group chat lit up about Top Chef because they mentioned Guyana, and so we were all like,
"Oh yeah, I caught that too." I was like, "Kevin, yeah, that was great." Hey, Jess Sterling, what kind of shit are the 90s teaching you? Over at Shit 90s Pod.
The Midwestern accent.
I don't know what it was.
Hey, Jess Sterling. What sort of shit?
Hey, Jess Sterling.
He's teaching you.
Yeah. What sort of... What sort of
want some lessons about what the 90s.
What sort of tasty treats are you learning over at Shit 90s? The Shit 90s taught me.
So we just dropped a podcast that was a bonus podcast. It starts off all about astrology, if that is something that you're interested in. We do the very, very bare basics, very bare bones of astrology for the sole purpose of sorting Boy Meets World characters into astrological signs. Really
fair.
Fun.
Don't we know their birthdays?
Listen, Kevin, don't ruin fun. The point point being that the writers of the show didn't like put their birthdays for the correct astrological sign that they would be assigned. So we assigned them like we were sorting them into Harry Potter houses. Really fun time. We had the guys from Boy Meets World Fever on to help us out. So really fun time. Go listen to that. Beyond that, we are in season two of Boy Meets World currently. And Dawson's Creek is a whole mess right now. Tamara is back. It is a wild time. She's awful. Pacey had the frosted tips for like a hot second.
Yeah.
Awful. Fantastic. Awful. They looked awful, awful. Awfully because good, he was in maybe. Cruel Intentions.
Hell yeah.
And he had the frosted tips from that. So, ooh, it was bad. It was a bad look. So anyway, if you want to catch up on that, at @shit90spod on Twitter and Instagram, Sarah does our graphics. They're amazing. So check all of that out.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Well, next week, investigative journalism here on Community Building, plus so much more. We've got Down the Hatch is getting close to the end. It is at the end. We finished season four. We're doing the season four feedback special. We just had A Long Time to Go recently with Kevin and LaTanya. We're gearing up. Brendan Fitzpatrick and I are getting ready for The Bad Batch. We're going to have a little bit of coverage about that. Everything is super. As Kevin said, Falcon Winter Soldier wrapping up. We're gearing up for the next thing. The Bloom Files is happening. Final Fantasy VIII podcast, plus everything in the patron feed, not just Mighty Ducks, quack, 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 but as teased, there's a new show coming out for the patrons on a weekly basis. And also, Jess, heard there may even be like a secret like monthly thing maybe.
I heard about that. I heard it might be live in the Discord.
Thursday at 9 p.m. Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Be in the Discord at the PSR stage. Final Thursday of every month is what we're aiming for on this one. Mm-hmm.
That's what I've heard.
Mysterious. Yes. So check
eyes
it
emoji,
out.
Eyes emoji.
Tune in. You don't need to prep anything for this one. You can just show up and it should be fun. And then after that, we'll probably need to prep stuff. Cool. So that's what's going on. Sign up for the Patreon if you have not done so already. Patreon.com/post-show-recaps. That's going to do it here for us on Community Building. As we like to say, Corey B. Take it away!
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Kale Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.